Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Okay, people, you are listening to Planet Porky. I am Mike Parry, Mike the Porkmeister Parry, and I am absolutely delighted, folks, to be able to reintroduce you to one of the stars of what is becoming a spinning, frothing, fizzing planet, which is Planet Porky, and that is the return of young Jake Hawley. Jacob, terrific to see you, mate. Delighted that you're back in the studio with me. How are you doing?
Thanks for having me back, Michael. Very much appreciate it.
Thank
you for welcoming me back to the Planet of Pork.
Absolutely.
I'm very excited to be here.
We'd have you any time.
It's been a long time.
It's been quite a long time, but of course you've been busy. It's not that we haven't actually worked together during the period you haven't been on Planet Porky, because of course we had a little get together in Edinburgh.
I was going to say
Aberdeen then for a minute.
It was not Aberdeen, it was Edinburgh, wasn't it?
It was Edinburgh.
You came up to Edinburgh. Yeah. We had a
brilliant little get together on Talksport Radio.
Yeah.
We got together and met some of your pals in the evening, you know, all those comedians at the comedy store.
So I was up at Edinburgh doing the Fringe,
yeah.
Right? I was doing a show up there. Remind me again how you described the Edinburgh Fringe, because I quite like this.
Well, what I think the Edinburgh Fringe is all about is that in any industry, you've normally got about 1% of people who get right to the top. That's true of the rock industry, true of the fashion industry. There are hundreds of thousands of models in this world, but only Kate Moss and you know, people like that are the real stars in the top 1%.
Mm-hmm.
You get 1% of people get to the top in mathematics or anything.
In mathematics?
Yeah, mathematics.
The industry of mathematics.
I'm telling you, you do.
What do you mean in mathematics?
Well, there's only one Einstein. All the rest were just a load of knobheads who, the rest
of the people working in maths.
Yeah, that's right. Just knobheads who, you know, said, I've worked out a new formula. 2 + 2 = 4. Minus 1 = 3.
No, 2 + 2 won't be numbers. But Edinburgh.
Yeah,
Edinburgh
yeah.
is.
So what I said was, it seems to me, in Edinburgh, what they did is, these thousands of comedians and playwrights and actors and artists decided nobody else is taking any bleeding notice of us.
Mm.
Why don't we do it ourselves?
Yeah.
So it's thousands of hopeless cases of people who are never going to get anywhere get together so they can walk around Edinburgh for a month patting each other on the back, telling each other how bloody good they are, you know what I mean? And then very occasionally, somebody comes out of Edinburgh and becomes a blinking star, you know, David Walliams or somebody like that.
David Walliams did it.
And I hope very much, Jake, that's going to happen to you. And the reason I hope for that is because you're a few generations younger than me, right?
Yeah.
So if I'm going towards the twilight of my career, I hope yours is just flourishing and you will remember your old pals when you get there.
No, that's it. Well, look, hopefully, you know, yeah. I mean, I don't want to get morbid too early on, but, you know, if there's a baton to be passed, if there was ever a case where you didn't feel like you could be at the helm of Planet Porky, leading this fair planet around the solar system, I would like to think I could take that position.
Good.
But back to... So you came up to Edinburgh. We had a great time.
Yeah.
You turned up. You weren't wearing a kilt.
No,
but you did have the hat.
A tam o' shanter. That's right. Absolutely. Yeah.
with the ginger wig falling out the sides of it.
That's right.
We had a few beers of a morning, as you know, Blado in modo.
Yes,
Blado
in modo. Blado in modo, of course. Yeah.
And then towards the evening time, and this is the story as I would tell it, and I'm interested to hear how you would tell it.
Yes.
Towards the evening time, I was quite busy up there.
Yes, you were.
I had my show at 5. I was doing another show at 7, and then I had another one about 9:30. And as you correctly say, you and a couple of my mates, we were having a few beers, as you do it, a festival like this, nothing wrong with that.
Yeah.
And there was a party that night, I remember correctly. Now, as you say, there are quite a lot of what you might call pretenders at the Edinburgh Fringe.
Yes.
It's quite trendy. There's a lot of,
of
trendy young people who actually, and I'll say this, I don't mind saying it, A lot of people at the Edinburgh Fringe. I make a full time living as a comedian.
Right,
I've done for a little while.
Good,
you know, as you know, as well as doing this with yourself, I do my own podcast on the BBC. You
absolutely,
know, serious broadcaster. You know, that's journalism.
That's
really.
Right. Got to be a serious broadcaster.
A lot of people in at the Edinburgh Fringe are sort of, you know, trendy people who don't really make any money out of comedy, but just do it because it's sort of fun. You know, trendy.
Yeah.
And there was this party on that night. I remember the night you were there. There was a big party, and I thought I'll take Porky. It was a karaoke party.
Yes.
And I remember saying to you, do you want to come to this party?
Yeah.
Now, you've got quite a strange sleeping habit, if I don't mind saying.
Yeah.
You go to bed at about 9 o'clock.
Well, it depends what I'm doing, but certainly...
But you're often in bed by
9:30, certainly.
By 9:30, so you can get up at 4 o'clock in the morning,
that's right,
as you like to do, so you
absolutely
can abuse people on the internet and then go to
all
work.
All sorts of things like that. And I regard those 2 hours in the morning as my time because nobody else is around. You're not getting emails. nobody's ringing you.
What 2 hours? Between four and six?
Yeah, between four and six. And I can send out all sorts of insulting emails. And then if somebody comes back later in the day, so well, that didn't seem to bother you when you got the email, and they say, but I got it at 4:15 this morning. I said, well, it's not my fault you can't get up and start your day at the, you know, proper time.
Is that why you wake up at 4:00 so you can say what you like to people?
That's right,
and they can't come back to you.
Yeah, well, during the day, I say, well, you've taken a bit of time to respond, mate, haven't you?
So I was about to run into a show at about 9:00, and we were in this beer garden, and I said to you, look, I've got to run into this show. Do you want to come to the show? And then we'll go to a party, a few beers. And you said, no, I'm going back to the hotel.
Yeah.
I said, all right. Mm. So I said, you know, good to see you, Michael. Mm. You know, I thought he's going back to the hotel to go to bed.
Mm.
Now, I went to this show at 9:00,
yeah.
And I'm involved in it, but, I've got a few little parts. It's acting, but basically I was backstage and I was a bit bored.
Right.
I went on my phone on Twitter.
Yeah.
And I saw on there that you hadn't gone to bed.
Oh, yeah, where'd I gone?
You were still in the beer garden. And there were young women taking photographs. I say young. There were women a lot younger than yourself.
Really?
There were people. I saw on Twitter, you because you were retweeting it. There were women. So you were swanning around this beer garden.
No.
People taking photographs.
I remember exactly what happened now. You guys went off and I hadn't finished my drink. I said, I'm going. I was about to finish my drink. And then a woman came up to me, an English woman, right, in Edinburgh. She said, we love you. She was with her husband and all that. She wasn't with her husband. You know,
she wasn't with her husband.
Yeah, she was with her friend. She said, oh, you know, can I take a picture? She said, would you mind doing a little message for my husband?
Oh, okay.
So I did a little bit of live video for her and said, his name is. Hi, John, you know, better watch yourself here. He's a very attractive wife here in Edinburgh on her own, all that. And I thought that was for her, but then I saw her put that out on
Twitter.
She
put it on Twitter, because I saw it.
Yeah, right. Okay.
So I thought to myself, hang on, I've invited him to a party. He doesn't want to come. Yeah, he told me he's going back to the hotel.
Yeah. Well, now he's swanning
around the beer garden on the pool.
Yeah, it was a bit like that, but not intentionally, if you see what I mean.
In fact,
within minutes of doing that, I walked out the front door and walked across the road and got a cab.
So you did,
because there was a taxi rank. Yeah, I did. Okay, yeah. Okay. But no, I thought she was taking that literally to send to her husband. And I was as amazed as you. The next morning, I flicked through. I thought, oh, bloody hell.
All over the internet.
But anyway, it didn't matter. It was great.
Well, let's talk. That was on the internet. But you've been doing well for yourself since I've been. I've been at the Fringe and then I went on holiday. But you've been very busy. I mean, I've seen you.
Yeah.
I can't stop seeing you. You're all over. You're doing Jeremy Vine a lot.
Do Jeremy Vine a lot. I like doing that. That's great. That's a bit of TV. I mean, it is actually quite astonishing that in the what you could call towards the, you know, the final furlongs of my career, not that I've any intention of giving it up, but I mean, you know, I'm a couple of decades older than you, maybe in the twilight zone of my career, suddenly television is a medium that I've been able to start working in.
So suddenly you've got a face for television.
Face for television. I can't believe it. Face for television.
I can't believe it.
And it all came about really because I worked with Jeremy quite a lot on radio, because Jeremy also has a show on BBC Radio 2, as you know. And when he got the gig that used to be fulfilled by Matthew Wright on Channel 5.
It's about a year ago, wasn't it?
About a year ago. And he said, do you know anything about it? And then suddenly I was talking to his producers. And I love doing it. It's a different medium. But it is astonishing because if it's a young person's world, and if we follow the route of American TV, where you've literally got to be young and tanned and have white teeth like a piano keyboard. We wouldn't get anywhere. But the most interesting thing is, I think I told you about this when we were chatting earlier. Have you ever heard of Diet Face?
Diet face.
Diet face.
So this is the face that you receive when you've been dieting.
Yeah, absolutely right.
This is what happens to your gob. Yeah, when you've lost a few pounds.
Your face caves in.
Right.
I tell you, a really good example of it in the last couple of years is Michael Douglas. You know Michael Douglas, the actor?
Oh, yeah, Zeta Jones.
Zeta Jones, that's right.
Yeah, right.
I mean,
right.
he used to be normal.
Well,
like normal, middle-aged, middle-class, middle-weight. You know what I mean?
Middle-everything.
Not middle-class, very wealthy. He's just sold his house in upstate New York, Westchester.
How much do you reckon he got?
$27 million. And he said, I had to downgrade, so he's moved to one that cost about half, about $14 million.
He's going to be catching you.
But he's also, also at the same time, he sold his house in the Bahamas for something like $14 million.
Yeah.
But most of all, he sold his estate in Mallorca, which had 250 acres, for another $8 or $9 million. You know what I mean?
How do you know how much his houses cost?
Because I read a piece. He's
this is. Do you know what this is? This is you. This is
property envy.
Yeah, it's property envy. You're dying. You've told me before. Your Bible is the Bible that you read from the rich list.
Well,
you're obsessed with becoming the richest man in the world.
No, I could never be that. This envy of yours has
led you to somehow discover what everyone's house costs.
Well, I'm attracted to... Look, as a property investor myself, I keep my own property and all that. Mm. And this popped up in a property section of some magazine. I mean, altogether, he's got £100 million worth of property, because none of those I've told you about include the flat on Central Park South, I think it is, or Central Park West, in New York, which is worth about another $40 million.
How do you know?
Because I do. Because I'd love to have one. I mean, you know James Dyson, the inventor?
The Dyson blades,
when you get your hands dried.
Well, better known for the Hoovers.
He's bought an apartment on Central Park for about $120 million.
How do you know this?
Because I do know these things.
I read the news, you seem to have an encyclopedic knowledge of how much everyone else costs.
Well, you have to be aware of it in case the values are going up and down. You need to get out or get in. You see what I mean?
This is it. I don't move in these circles. I'm not part of this. I'd go as far as to say an elite. Would you put yourself in the elite? Would you say you're
not an elitist.
Really?
I'm not an elitist. No? I just made absolutely sure when I was a very young person that I was never going to be short of money. You know what I mean?
But
there's levels on this all the time about, you know, what you can afford and how much you're worth. I mean, some people regard themselves as falling on hard times if they have to give up the house in the south of France, you know, when they get divorced and all that kind of stuff. You know what I mean?
Anyway, we're speaking about this guy's face. We're supposed to be talking about his face, not the price of his house.
Your face implodes. So, whilst I would like to dye it now, I fear that because I've been deemed to be so attractive as to be invited back, thankfully, occasionally to the Jeremy Vine show, I daren't now go on a diet. If I do, my face might implode. My face might collapse.
You're worried you're going to lose your TV face if you lose too much weight.
But
it's not going to collapse, is it? It's not going to collapse.
It would kind of implode at my age, and then all ugly skin starts hanging around your throat. You start looking like a turkey. I don't want turkey face.
A little gobble gobble at the bottom. Have you considered what? Now this would be the sort of the modern solution to such a problem would be to grow a big beard.
Well, I've got a shallow beard.
Yeah, you've got a shallow beard, but this is what I'm saying. If you were to get all that extra skin...
No.
So I know what you're talking about. I've seen these people. It's almost like they've got a second face underneath their jawline.
Yes, that's right.
They're a lot hanging down
Absolutely.
Here.
Absolutely.
But the easiest way to hide that, big bushy beard, so you don't know what's hair and what's skin.
Problem is, my hair's gone silver. I used to have deep auburn hair, ginger.
And I know this because I saw a photograph of you and Michael Owen that you put on the internet.
That's right, absolutely.
So you used to be auburn, but now...
Bushy beard looked okay, but
silver fox, silver badger, really. But we'll carry
silver
on.
Silver badger, but it's not a good look, honestly. So I'm veering away from that one. But the it's a dilemma. I've got to keep my robust look.
Is that how you would describe it? Robust.
Robust. The
robust
look. Yeah. Now I've got a pal who I may see later today called Alan Brazil.
Mm.
And Al is an extraordinary man with extraordinary energy for life, okay?
Yeah.
And since he stopped being a professional footballer,
mm-hmm.
and remember he played for Ipswich, Scotland, Manchester United and Spurs, very successful football career.
Yep.
He's put a few pounds on because he doesn't train every day now.
Yep.
But Al couldn't possibly now go on a diet, because if he did, he'd be unrecognisable. Alan Brazil is Alan Brazil. You know what his face looks like. So does everybody
else. Yeah, but he's—I mean—he's a radio star. This is the point. I mean, what you're saying is that you can't lose your look because you're now a television star. You're.
Well, I wouldn't say star. I'd say a television panelist.
I'm being very kind.
The reason
I would say you've become a bit of a star is because you did actually go viral, didn't you? There was the clip of yourself and Connie Huck. I'm a big fan of Connie Huck. I think she's great, Connie.
I've got no problem with her. Yeah.
But geez, I mean, the fact that she went off on one to the point that she made you, Porky Parry, look like the sane and reasonable person.
It's unbelievable. In that debate, in my life, I was getting these millions of tweets and messages saying Porky Parry, the voice of reason.
I know.
First time in my life.
The voice of reason. Amazing.
It was absolutely amazing.
But it was all smiles and it was all comfy afterwards, wasn't it?
It certainly was.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Okay, folks, just to remind you, you are listening to Planet Porky. And I'm delighted that Jake Hawley is back in the studio with me today. Well, Jake, look, I was going to start delving into where you've been since you haven't been on Planet Porky.
As far as
Edinburgh.
We spoke
great.
About Edinburgh. Yeah, we had a good time up there.
But then, because, unlike me when I was your age, you have no application to keep going. You then push off and spend, a month on a sun lounger somewhere in Spain.
Absolute rubbish.
Does idleness become you?
It's absolutely not true. I went to Spain for 5 days.
Five days. Sound like five weeks to me.
Let's talk about it. I mean, you don't like the sun, do you?
I don't like the sun.
You don't like the heat.
And I don't like holidays.
What do you mean you don't like holidays?
I don't like holidays.
Why don't you like holidays?
Because it's pointless. Holidays are pointless.
It's time to relax. It's time to relax.
People do pointless things, right? Just yesterday, I think, I read about a woman who has now gone into the Guinness Book of Records of being the oldest person to walk from Land's End to John O'Groats, okay? What a complete effing waste of time. Why would you bother? Why don't you do something productive with your life instead of walking from Land's End to John O'Groats or the other way around?
Let's think about it. First of all, I'm not sure that's a holiday.
No, but it's a waste of time, Dad.
That's not the same.
What productive can you do when you're walking from Land's End to John O'Groats?
She's not on holiday. When I went to Spain, I wasn't sure. But that's not the same thing.
She's retired, by the way. Yeah,
well, exactly. She's retired.
She's a 67-year-old retired orthopedic doctor.
Okay, so she's 67. She's a few years older than yourself.
Quite a few months.
And she said to herself, all right, she's been a doctor.
Yep.
A lot of respect for doctors.
Yeah,
a lot of respect for doctors. How's your health at the moment? Is your health all right?
Well, it oscillates. That goes up and down a bit.
Yeah, I know what that means.
But it oscillates usually in direct proportion to the amount of alcohol I'm consuming.
Yeah.
So, I'm a very light drinker these days for that very reason.
Yes.
So you're defending this woman who's wasting her time
walking
around.
Well, I'm not saying she's wasting her time. I'm saying we were talking about holidays.
No, I'm saying she's wasting her time.
Yeah, I know, but she's not. We were talking about holidays. She's not. No one breaks a world record on holiday, do they? That's not what she was trying to do.
Well, what did you do on your holiday?
What did I do? So we went to Barcelona, spent a few days. I'll be honest with you, you talk about, getting pissed. I basically drank the whole time.
Did you?
Spain.
For 5 days?
What
were you drinking? The Cuba Libras?
What was I drinking? We'd always start with a gin and tonic in the morning to freshen up.
Lovely.
Something that you taught me, I have to say.
Indeed. What time is that?
Morning meeting. So we'd start about 10 or 11.
Excellent. And would you have loads of ice in it and be fizzing and frothing?
You want a little bit of lime. You want a bit of lime because you need to get your five a day. So you have a little slice of lime in there. You start with a bit of that. Move on to the Coronas in the afternoon. A couple of Coronas. Yeah. Now, a big thing that they do in Spain, which I know you won't like, they have a siesta. They have a little kip in the afternoon.
I can't work that out. How anybody can go to sleep in the middle of the day?
This part of Spanish culture. Barcelona, you have a sleep,
Come from Barcelona. Is that what you were? Barcelona?
We went to Barcelona and then we went up and down the coast.
Okay, Barcelona's not exactly a sort of beach resort, is it? I mean,
it's got a beach.
It's got a beach, but it's known more for its cathedral and its cultural aspects.
Gaudi and the parks and all that.
When we first started going to Spain as a family, when we were kids, you got yeah. remember, it was the age of the package holiday, okay?
Right, of course.
And so you get on a Britannia Airways plane at Manchester Airport and fly to Arenal in Mallorca, you know what I mean? Mm. And the whole aspect of the holiday was a complete waste of time. You spent 2 weeks doing absolutely nothing, you see what I mean?
Yeah,
what I couldn't get was, because I didn't like lying by a swimming pool, even as a kid.
How old were you at this point?
About 13 when we first went.
I don't know
abroad.
Why. I'm picturing you still having the beard, still having the glasses at 13.
Marching
up and down with a briefcase trying to do journalism on this holiday.
It could be. But, I mean, I was fascinated by newspapers in those days because I already had a paper round back in England, right? So I would go off and try to buy some English newspapers that would arrive the day after they were published, right? And I'd be kicking...
These poor Spanish people must have been so confused.
I'm not joking.
Weird 13-year-old kid demanding a newspaper.
That's right. That's absolutely right. And what I'd do is I'd go to a shop which I'd been to the previous evening to find it shut at sort of 2 o'clock in the afternoon. And I'd start kicking the door. You know, you lazy bastards. Why are you shut? You know, why are you shut?
This mad 13-year-old northern kid trying to kick down the door of a news agent because he's demanding a newspaper.
That's right, absolutely.
Why don't you just go for a swim or just play in the pool
because
or something?
I went for a swim like for about 10 minutes and then I was bored. I didn't know what else to do.
So you needed to read a tabloid.
You needed to read a tabloid.
You needed to do a crossword. at the age of 13.
Well, there's nothing wrong with that, you know. What about Jacob Rees-Mogg, you know, the current MP?
He was
investing shares when he was 12 or 13.
But he's a freak of nature, isn't he? He's not a normal man.
His father was William Rees-Mogg, who was the editor of The Times.
Really?
I come from a very posh family and all that kind of stuff. I quite like him now because he takes the mickey out of himself so well.
William Rees-Mogg or Jacob Rees-Mogg?
Jacob Rees-Mogg. I love the way he takes the mickey out of himself. You know,
give me an example of this. How has he done this recently? Has he taken the piss out of himself? I saw the thing going around where he was asleep on his chair at the front.
Well, it was a bench in the House of Commons.
And it was said to
be disrespectful to fall asleep on the benches of the House of Commons. But
probably is.
He's just a political freak. You get him of all persuasions, don't you?
Yeah.
You know, old Corbyn is now called Grandad, you know, and Grandpa Corbyn and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Because when you are a politician and put yourself in the public eye, you are going to be satirised beyond belief. Look at Bojo. I mean, you never see a cartoon of him now without his hair coming down to his nose, you know, like a thatch on
his
head.
He tried a sort of rebrand, didn't he? He cut it a bit shorter when he first...
I think his girlfriend must have done that for him, don't you?
Well, which one?
That's a good point, probably. Carrie, yeah.
That's a good point.
Yeah. Now, talking about that, right?
Talking about that. Bojo.
What do you think about Gropergate, then?
In case anyone hasn't heard of Gropergate, inform me. What is the story?
Okay. What happens is Boris Johnson has been...
Groping?
Sorry?
He's been groping?
Groping, yeah. But he's been a well-known philanderer and womaniser for many, many years. Mm-hmm. Everybody knows that in the business. It is alleged that he has a child outside of marriage. He had a long affair with a lady called Petronella Wyatt. This is all known. She worked at The Spectator. Now, what's happened is that a columnist in the Sunday Telegraph last Sunday, a lady called Charlotte Edwards, who's well-known for the last 20 years, she most recently wrote a column in the Evening Standard, the London Evening Standard. In her first column, in her new job in the Sunday Telegraph, she writes a story about they're having lunch at The Spectator where she was a young, you know, journalist trying to get on in life.
This is a little while ago.
20 years ago. And Bojo, Boris Johnson, is the editor of The Spectator in those days, sitting at the head of the table. All of a sudden, she feels a hand underneath the table, touching her thigh. Mm. And I think the actual expression used was, squeezed my thigh tight enough to take a large amount of flesh into his palm. You know, something like
that.
Right,
okay.
So she's come out and made this accusation. Amazingly, the Prime Minister Boris Johnson has denied it. He normally lets them just flow over his head. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but he's acknowledged this one. He said, "No, I didn't do that."
He said, "No, it never happened."
Someone else under the table.
I can't remember the lunch. Somebody else. Now, there's one crucial factor here which could completely bring the Prime Minister down.
Yeah.
And that is that Charlotte Edwards said a lady sitting opposite her. Mm-hmm. So look at the table. Boris Johnson's at the head of it. He's got Charlotte Edwards on the right, another lady on the left. She said, after the lunch, I mentioned to the lady opposite that I'd been groped. She said, oh, so was I. Did it to me as well.
He's like an octopus. He's got hands everywhere. Right, okay.
Well, it has been said in the past that no lady ever gets into the back of a taxi with Boris Johnson.
I mean, that's a bit worrying, isn't it? We've got a prime minister where women aren't, you know, they don't dare get in a cab with him because he's got hands everywhere.
Well, I mean, you know, you're perfectly entitled to make that observation. I mean, nobody's made that allegation since he was prime minister.
Oh, okay, right.
No, but I mean, he's been Foreign Secretary and Mayor of London in the past. He's had important political positions, and that's always been said about him. But the point I was going to make was, if the second lady is ever identified and comes along and verifies that story, I think Boris Johnson is sunk, isn't he? Because at the moment, he said it didn't happen. He can't remember the lunch. Charlotte Edwards has gone in print and said it did happen. If one or the other is found to be untruthful about the situation, that's the end.
Well, yeah, I mean, look, we're verging onto serious political discussion here, Michael. Well, usually you and I, we stick to talking about how you like to feed chicken and milk to foxes.
Well, look, have you ever thought about being a politician?
Have I?
Because if you've got a lot to say about things and people say...
Well, I've got a lot to say about things, but then you know, No, I haven't. I'd fire the question back at you. Yeah. Have you ever thought about being a politician?
No.
If say you were, right? Say we, you know, let's imagine that Britain, you know, Boris Johnson goes. And the fact that Boris Johnson is prime minister is mad enough. I think the fact that Porky Parry might be the next one, that, you know, now that Boris is in charge, who knows? Why not? If you were prime minister, the first three things that you would do, what would they be? The laws you'd put in, the changes you'd make,
Generally speaking, I believe that a low tax economy means a prosperous economy, and you need a prosperous economy to have a great national health service.
Some more money for the rich, first of all.
No.
Less tax for the rich.
Well, less tax for everybody, but I'd start with the lower earners first, and they wouldn't pay any tax at all.
Yeah, man of the people.
Yeah, man of the people. That's absolutely right. And give it that. Yeah. I want to stimulate the economy in every possible way.
Yeah.
I want to free us up, okay, from red tape. I bloody well hate red tape. Okay?
So what does that mean?
Well, yeah, for instance,
free us up from red tape. You know, what does that mean to the common man?
Okay, what it means to the common man is, for instance, some of my family have property investments, property business, student rentals and all that. Uh-huh. The amount of red tape you're now involved in just to get those businesses off the ground is outrageous. Some of it's come from Europe. A lot of it is homegrown, okay? We're not averse to red tape in this country, believe me.
So let people make more money out of property.
Yes, including
some more,
me.
Some more, including me. More money,
well, wouldn't you like to make money out of property if you had some?
Well, I haven't got any bloody property.
Well,
so
in that case, you should have saved up a bit more instead of spending it all on blinking sunbeds in Barcelona.
Sunbeds in Barcelona.
Oh, didn't you? What were you doing? Camping on the beach?
I wasn't camping anywhere. I just got a little towel and slept on that.
Oh, really?
So the first two policies that you would have if you're in charge of the country.
Yes.
First of all, less tax for rich people.
That's right, yeah.
Second of all, make it easier for rich people to become landlords and rent out property. So what's number three?
Provide housing for the poor who can't afford housing, Where do you think your house comes from? Some landlord owns the property you live in. If that landlord had not put his neck on the line and bought the property, you wouldn't have a roof over your head.
All right, okay, so less red tape there. So what's the third policy? The third one. Man of the people, Porky Parry, what's the third thing you would do?
I would strengthen the country's defences because it's obvious now we're in a world which is so dangerous. You and I have had, you know, good political discussions in the past about the strength of nations in the world. They're going to get stronger.
Yeah.
We need to be able to protect ourselves, particularly, Jake, and I'm smarter than the average bear, so
true,
I can spot this, right?
True.
So in the old days,
yeah,
you had to have a load of aircraft carriers to take the aeroplanes to the regions in the world which are dodgy, and then you could attack from there. These days, as evidenced while you've been away lying on your fucking cheap bit of towel in
Barcelona. For five days. I can't believe how much shit I'm getting for one five-day holiday. Carry on.
What's happened is that somebody attacked the Saudi Arabian oil business, okay, and reduced the flow of oil to the West by 5% in one strike. But it wasn't aircraft from an aircraft carrier. It was a load of drones. That's all you need these days.
Yeah,
you don't need aircraft carriers. You just need somebody to produce a very efficient drone which can be launched virtually anywhere and flown under radar anywhere and bomb anything they want to do.
So how do you propose we stop the drones? I would start with nets. What would be your policy?
I don't think a net would stop a drone that was carrying a £3,000 bomb. I mean, drones...
No, not a £3,000. We'd just get a big net. Go. But what would you do? How would you stop the drones?
I would invent technology to blow them up in the air before they got anywhere near hurting us, okay? I would invent that technology. I mean, I wouldn't personally invent it.
No, no, no.
But I would put enough money into...
You'd probably pay someone.
If I spent long enough, pay somebody to develop the technology to blow the drones up. Drones are going to be the thing that we've got to watch out next, OK? I can see that because I'm smarter than the average bear. Why the bloody hell can't the President of the United States of America and the Prime Minister of England see that, eh?
Well, because he's too busy groping people.
Well, I mean, that's not a bad thing to say at the moment, not a bad thing to say. Listen, I want to tell you something about a guy who I admire enormously, who's just died, and that's Peter Sissons. Okay?
Yeah, rest in peace.
Now,
rest
Peter Sissons is old-school journalist. He's more of my generation than yours.
Sure.
But, I mean, there are people you must admire in your generation. Which comedians do you really admire, by the way?
Which comedians do I really admire? Yeah. Who do I really... I would say my favourite living comedian is Bob Mortimer.
Right,
okay. Are you a fan of Bob Mortimer? Vic and Bob?
I haven't worked with Bob, but I've worked with Vic Reeve.
Yeah, he's lovely, isn't he?
Yeah, Vic's come into the radio station quite a few times, and I've worked with him. He's great.
They're two of my favourites.
I do like Bob Mortimer, I have to say. You see, I sometimes find it difficult to define a comedian. I mean,
What do you mean?
Is James Corden a comedian? Do you understand the point I'm making?
I see the point you're making, but the thing is, I think with most comedians, you very rarely stick to one thing. Me, for example, I do my podcast on the BBC, right? I'm a serious broadcaster,
yes,
serious
absolutely.
Journalist.
Yeah,
I like to come in here and muck around with you. You're not so much
muck
of
around.
A serious.
Sorry, well, you mean muck around?
Yeah, well, no, but this is
the Planet Porky, the podcast. Yeah, we don't muck around,
mate.
It's
not serious broadcasting, is it? It's not. Yeah, but
you
know, I do my bit of journalism then, and I do you know live shows, go on tour, do a bit of this, do a bit of that. So Corden. Do you like James Corden?
I like him enormously. And he went up a million times on estimation for the car karaoke with Paul McCartney.
Yeah, I've seen that.
Utterly brilliant.
But now, he came out the other day in defence of obesity. And
he was
saying that obesity is something...
Well, I don't think he came out in defence of obesity. He came out in front of the fuller in support of the fuller figured man.
Right, okay.
He wasn't defending obesity as an illness. No.
Okay, I've got that wrong. But he was coming out and saying it as a fuller figured man.
Yeah, that's right.
He's had his difficulties in life. And this is a topic you've spoken about previously.
Yes.
The fuller figured man.
Yes.
And you've actually been quite critical of people who
suffer.
Not critical, but
No, you're right. Since you and I worked together, I was over in Belfast on a show with Stephen Nolan. Okay,
up in Belfast.
Yeah,
out there. Can you do that?
Have you ever been to Belfast? and it's in a studio, 600 people. It's a live studio. Mm. It's a very popular show, the Stephen Nolan TV show on BBC Northern Ireland, and. I was put up as an expert on obesity. I wonder why.
I wonder why. And I'd have no idea why a man called Porky Parry would know anything about obesity.
Exactly. And there were two very large ladies sitting on the panel as well. Very nice ladies, but, you know, by their own admission, very heavy, you know, who had no intention of changing. And, you know, I said, well...
Very heavy.
No, they were.
You sound like you weighed them.
Well, no, but they looked very heavy. I mean, they were very heavy.
Okay, seriously.
And, by the way, a lot of respect for them because they had their point of view in life.
Respect for the heavy
women. But the minute I stood up and said, look, obesity is a lifestyle choice. It's not an illness. I said, it can be an illness in 1% of cases, but mostly it's a lifestyle choice because you eat too much, you know. My God, I got abuse.
Did you really?
Yeah.
What did people say to you?
Well, people in the audience said, that man's a disgrace. Throw him out of the studio. What he's doing here? He comes to our province and starts insulting our people. Actually, the two people who'd been flown in from England anyway.
That's ironic.
Yeah, that's right. But what I'm saying is, there's a big debate. But we're all getting fat and we're all getting obese.
Really?
Now, you won't remember the original...
I'm fit as a flea.
You look fit as a flea.
I'm in good shape. You go, King Juicehead, as you often call me. But you previously lost an awful lot of weight, didn't you?
I did. I lost some stone. But I was on the heart transplant list.
Right.
Never happened. But, I mean, it was a good incentive to lose weight.
Yeah.
In fact, they don't feed you anyway because you have to get the weight off before you can have the operation. You see what
I
mean?
Okay, right.
So it had to be taken off. But, no, what I'd say to you is... My dear departed mum, the last car she ever had, and she gave up driving at 80, she died when she was 85, sadly, was an original Mini, a yellow Mini, a beautiful little car. Now, if I got in that Mini, it wouldn't be room for anybody else now. Seriously, you look at cars called Minis these days, they are twice the size of the original Mini, and I'm talking about the car that was, you know, popular in the swinging 60s.
We are all getting
bigger. We're all getting the slabs in mortuaries now are 1.5 times the size they were 30 years ago. Because fat bastards are dying.
What do you mean the slabs are bigger?
The slabs that they have to do the post-mortems on have had to be extended.
You're not serious.
I'm telling you.
They're 1.5.
What? They're 1.5 times the size the slab was 30 years ago because people are now so big and fat. Here's another statistic for you.
Right.
Ambulances these days have had to have reinforced suspension put in because of the fat bastards that are picking them off the streets and having to cart off to hospital to give them all sorts of operations. They fall over because they're so fat.
Okay, so Porky Parry, Mr. Pork, yes. How would you incentivise the nation? If you wanted everyone to lose weight, yeah. What would you do? How would you get everyone to lose the weight?
I would promote healthy eating, okay. But in my view, healthy eating means lean steak. I think everyone should have lean steak every day.
This is from the man who very proudly eats fish and chips every Friday afternoon.
Yeah.
Weatherspoons.
That's
pub.
Right. Yeah,
exactly. And you don't cook, do you?
Oh, I do. Yeah, I do cook.
Do you?
Yeah, I do cook.
I didn't know that you cooked.
Yeah, I cook spaghetti bolognese,
right.
Which I like, and
I cook fish
fingers, of course.
Okay,
you know,
so this
fingers.
Is the diet the nation should assume, is it?
Well, it's up to them.
Fish fingers and spaghetti bolognese and fish and chips on a Friday.
I tell you what, I've taken to, and I have now almost every day because I find it so lovely. Mm. Is smoked salmon. I start every meal now with a smoked salmon starter.
Very nice.
It's great.
A smoked salmon starter?
Yeah, I do, yeah.
Every meal?
Every meal.
Breakfast, smoked salmon starter.
No, not breakfast. I meant every evening meal. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
and
yeah.
And I get it from Tesco's or somewhere else, the Co-op or somewhere like that. And one, you know, packet of it, which costs, it's quite expensive. It costs about £6.
Yeah.
But it's enough for one. Well, it's enough for me for one. It's probably enough for two for other people. You know what I mean? And I put black pepper on it and I spray lemon on it.
Wow.
And I start every meal with that now, no matter what else I'm eating. You know, I just do.
So if I was to come around yours for dinner? Well,
yeah.
Let's go further. If a nice young woman. Now I know you're not currently on the hunt for a Mrs. Porky.
No, the search for the first Mrs. Parry is in suspension.
It's in suspension. But say we were to resume the search.
Yes.
We resume the search.
Yes.
We were scanning the nation for the future Mrs. Parry.
Yes.
And she were to come to your house for a lovely meal, what would you cook? How would you wine and dine the potential future Mrs. Porky?
I'd probably, let me see, that's been a tough one. I haven't cooked a meal for somebody else for a long time.
Right.
I would probably do my famous cottage pie.
Cottage pie?
Cottage pie, yeah, I know how to do
that. Is
that
not a bit heavy for a date? If you've got someone coming around for dinner, would you not consider, you know, perhaps a natural aphrodisiac like mussels or oysters, something like that, rather than a big slab of cottage pie?
I don't like the seafood. You might be right. Maybe it'd be easier to do. Oh, I know what I do.
Go on.
I know how to cook salmon in the oven now. You wrap it in silver foil. No, you wrap it in silver foil.
Okay.
You do.
So you go for smoked salmon to start.
Yeah.
Baked salmon for main course.
Yeah.
What do you have for dessert?
Salmon mousse. Right, Jake.
Very nice.
It's been great to be with you again. Thank
nice
you very
one,
much
mate.
Indeed. To
pleasure.
Everybody out there listening, this has been the latest edition of Planet Porky. And, folks, we'll be with you again very soon. Jake, thanks very much for joining me. And we'll see you again soon.
God bless. Thank you.
You get 1% of people get to the top in mathematics or anything.
In mathematics?
Yeah, mathematics.
The industry of mathematics.
I'm telling you,
what do you mean in mathematics?
Well, there's only one Einstein. All the rest were just a load of knobheads who
the rest of the people working in maths.
Yeah, that's right. Just knobheads who, you know, said, I've worked out a new formula. 2 + 2 = 4.
Yeah,
-1 = 3.
+2 bigger numbers. The reason I would say you've become a bit of a star is because you did actually go viral, didn't you? There was the clip of yourself
Connie
on Connie Huck.
Yes.
Now, I'm a big fan of Connie Huck.
Yeah.
I think she's a
I like Connie. I've got no
gentleman.
Problem with it. Yeah, yeah.
But, geez, I mean, the fact that she went off on one to the point that she made you, Porky Parry, look like the sane and reasonable person.
It's unbelievable.
In that debate.
In my life, I was getting these millions of, you know, tweets and messages saying, Porky Parry, the voice of reason.
I know.
First time in my life.
The voice of reason. Amazing.
It was absolutely amazing.
What do you mean the slabs are bigger?
The slabs that they have to do the post-mortems on have had to be extended.
You're not serious.
I'm telling you.
They're
1.5 times the size the slab was 30 years ago because people are now so big and fat.
So you go for smoked salmon to start.
Yeah.
Baked salmon for main course. What do you have for dessert?
Salmon mousse.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.